Today's message is something I am excited to talk to you about. It's something that I think is important. Mom came to me a few months ago and said, we want you to speak, and we have this subject that we're not sure who can talk on it, and so you're going to have to do it. And I said, great, this is the one I wanted. This is the subject that I wanted to talk about. Because there's one thing in my life that's better than anything else in this old life on the ground, and that's my wife. That is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Now, I've been born again, and that's the best thing in my spiritual life and in this life hereafter. But the single best, most exciting thing in my life is my marriage. And a lot of people can't say that. A lot of people, it's the hardest and the worst part of their life is being married. It's sad, but it's true, guys. It's true. A lot of marriages, a lot of Christian marriages end in flames. And a lot of times people go, we don't know why. We don't know what happened. We didn't want it to be this way. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to anybody, because the best thing in my life is my wife. I love it. I love being married. And I want you to love being married. But it doesn't happen by accident. You won't have a good marriage accidentally. It starts with a reason and a plan and a purpose. It starts with a walk. It starts by you doing what you need to be doing. So that's what today is about. It's about how you can be the person you want to be in order to be the person your spouse needs you to be. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for establishing marriage for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided me with a lovely wife and children and a home. Lord, I pray you would open your word to us today. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that lives would be moved. Lord, I pray that you would establish out of this group of people that are here many, many lovely homes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to be jumping around a lot, but I'm going to be speaking out of the scriptures a whole lot. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Now, I've had people come to me and tell me that they want a great marriage, and yet they do not want to walk in truth. The Bible says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. If you want to be favored of God, be a good man. Be a good woman. That's where a good marriage starts. I'm a builder. I don't take rotten lumber and build somebody a building and tell them it's a good building. I start with good lumber. If you've got rotten lumber when you come to marriage, God may whittle away your pile of lumber until you have a good marriage, but there's a lot of whittling involved, and that hurts. I built a beautiful set of shelves out of a cherry tree. I took a whole cherry tree, and I made one small set of shelves, a whole cherry tree. I had a shelf about this high and about that wide, and I had a stack of lumber that was cut off about this high and about that wide and about 6 feet long. I had sawdust, I had piles of stuff. I made a beautiful set of shelves, but I had a lot of waste. If you want to come to a marriage without a big pile of waste, then you start by obtaining favor of the Lord by walking uprightly. Now remember this, he says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. Do you see the progression here? That God will favor a good man, and a righteous woman will be a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to the bones. My wife is a crown to me. I love to show people, to introduce my wife to people. I love for people to get to know her because she's a crown to me. She's a good woman. And she treats me really good. And I love her being around me. But you get a mean woman, a woman that is of ill device, and she's like rottenness to her husband's bones. If you want a good marriage, young ladies, be a virtuous woman. Be a good woman. What you do now matters. Wisdom said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear my instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." If you look for wisdom, if you seek wisdom's counsel, you'll obtain favor of the Lord. Now, do you want to have favor of the Lord? "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Do you see the same progression here? If you love wisdom, if you follow wisdom, you'll obtain favor. But if you don't, you'll find evil devices. Now, how can you walk in untruth? How can you lie? How can you connive? How can you act in a way that is sinful to God and then expect to have a great marriage? The fact is, you may have a great marriage after years of whittling, and that hurts. Now listen to this, Proverbs 18:22. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now see the difference here. Before it says that you will obtain favor if you do these things. Now it says you have obtained favor if you find a wife. See, if you as a young man act in accordance with God, if you act wisely, if you walk with God, if you're of a virtuous heart, young lady, then you will obtain favor. And then once you find that wife, you have obtained that favor. Once you've been married to that godly man, you have obtained favor. You see, it's not an accident that I found a wife that was virtuous. I looked for a virtuous wife because I wanted a virtuous wife. The reason I did is because of the way I walked. I walked virtuously. It didn't happen in a vacuum. I wasn't some nasty guy out looking for a hot young thing. I was looking for a virtuous wife, and I found one, and I'm blessed because of it. If you want a virtuous wife, be virtuous. If you want a godly husband, be virtuous. Be a good guy, a good girl. Now, the verses that we go to when we start talking about marriage is usually Ephesians chapter 5. Are you guys familiar with Ephesians 5? Are you familiar with the passage? If you've read any of the created series, you've heard about Ephesians chapter 5. It's the famous chapter about husbands and wives and how to get along. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives." And that's usually where we start when we talk about marriage. But the fact is, Paul didn't start there. That's not where Ephesians started. You're in 5:21 before that happens. There's a whole foundation that's laid before you get there. I'm a builder, and I had a lady come to me, and she wanted a nice, pretty bay window. That's the end thing that she wanted. She wanted this big bay window in her room. And that's fine, but that's not where I start. I start by digging a hole in the ground, and then I pour concrete in the hole. Then I lay blocks on my concrete. Then I lay floor joists on my blocks. Then I put subfloors down, and I build progressively, and eventually I get the outcome that she wanted. If we come to marriage in Ephesians 5:21, we're trying to make a bay window with no foundation. So let's look at the foundation. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." If you want a good marriage, here's where you start. You start by putting on the new man. Are you born again? If you're not, this lesson's probably not for you. If you're born again, this is how you start. You start by putting on the new man. You start by walking with God. And it says, "Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That is never more true than in marriage. If you come to marriage and you're a deceitful person, if you lie to your parents right now, if your parents ask you where you were and you fudge the truth, if your parents tell you to be back home at 7:30 and you get back home at 8:15 and you say, I forgot, I had car trouble, and you lied, that's going to feed right over in your marriage. If you lie to your mom and dad, that's going to feed right over in your marriage. And young lady, when you're 7, 8, 10 years old, it matters what you do. That's going to make a difference in your marriage. Young man, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, your thought life, that's going to matter in your marriage. That's going to change the way that you act, the way that you respond to your wife in your marriage. So a good marriage starts when you're 10, when you're 11, 12, 13. Good marriage sometimes starts when you're 2 and 3 years old, the way your parents train you up. But as soon as you can decide for yourself whether you're going to tell the truth or not, and you decide to lie, that's going to feed over to your marriage. It says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you get upset with somebody, don't hold that grudge. Don't carry that to bed with you. Don't seethe and carry on about what somebody has done to you. Folks, that messes up a lot of marriages. A lot of people are miserable in marriage because they hold on to anger. When you get married, your husband or your wife will make you mad. You will love them to death and they will make you mad because they will do something that's really not that bad, but you'll be in a bad mood and it'll make you mad. How you respond to them at that point when you're aggravated will determine what kind of marriage you have. It's not how you act towards them when you're in love. It's not how you act towards them when you're holding hands or when you've got your arm around them or when you kiss. That's not what's going to make your marriage. What's going to make your marriage is when you come home and they do something irritating to you. When you're trying to sleep and they won't shut up. That's when your marriage is decided. Those of you that are married know what I'm talking about. That's when your marriage is decided. My wife knows better than talk to me when I'm sleeping. No, I'm sweet. Don't answer that type of thing. So it says that you need to not be angry or not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now, what do you think that means? Don't give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? The Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that the devil has no power over you if you're born again? Did you know that the devil cannot make you think something if you're born again? He cannot make you act in a way if you're born again, because you cannot serve two masters. And if your master is Jesus Christ, do you think the devil's going to whoop him up and take you away from him? He's not. But you know what? You can act in accordance to what the devil wants you to do because you decide to do it. It's not because he made you do it. I've heard people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, sir, he did not make you do it. Not if you're born again. You chose to do it. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. He's walking around looking for those who he can devour. How do you do that? Be sober. Be vigilant. Are you vigilant and sober, young lady? Or are you flighty? Or do you like to bob your hair and weave back and forth for the boys? Boys, are you sober and vigilant? Or are you too caught up in how you look? Are you trying to roll your shirt sleeves up to impress the girls or unbutton 3 buttons? Because if you want to be a godly man, if you want to have a good marriage, be sober and be vigilant and don't give place to the devil. The devil never comes and says, hey, come here and murder this guy. It'll be fun. No, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. The devil never will come to you as a young person and say, hey, come over here and fornicate. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to say, it's okay. It's okay to just, you know, sit in the back row of church and kind of hold hands a little bit. Be sober and be vigilant and don't give place to the devil, because it starts there. It starts with little things and it grows. The devil doesn't say, hey, look at this vile thing on the computer. Because you're going to say, no way. I'm not going to do that. The devil's going to say, it's only PG-13. Nobody will know. Just watch that part 4 times. and you listen, and you do it because you want to, not because he makes you. And the devil's walking around looking at who he may devour. Young man, young lady, you're 13 years old. You think you have time to straighten out. What you do today will matter in your marriage. It will change your marriage for good or for bad. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. If you like to sit around and talk, you're going to have problems in your marriage. If what you want to do is not to lend a hand, not to help, but to sit around and talk, it's going to be a big problem in your marriage. Ladies, if you marry a boy that will sit around and talk with you while the rest of the guys are moving the chairs to the back of the church or whatever, you're going to be hungry and poor because he's lazy. Young men, if you find that girl that is too busy playing to help her mama clean the dishes, then you're going to have a messy house. And you're going to have a messy life. If you want to be a good wife and have a good husband, work hard. Work hard. It's so simple. Work hard. Be diligent with the things that are put before you. Men, if you want to have a good wife and a good marriage, if you don't want to live in poverty, read Proverbs and see what the wisest man that ever wrote a book says. He says, be wise, work hard, be diligent. Go to the anti-slugger, consider his ways and be wise. If you want a good marriage, this is where it starts, guys. It's important. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, guys, this is one of the most important things. Men, young guys that are going to be men, this is one of the most important things that I could emphasize to you about your marriage. You're 13, 14, 18 years old, and you're looking for a wife. The most important thing that you will ever do to prepare for your wife is learn to bridle your tongue. There's a whole book in the Bible about it. If you like to sow discord among the brethren, you will have a lousy marriage. The reason is, the number one thing, the number one responsibility as a man of God in your marriage is to wash your wife with the water of your words. If you neglect the brethren now, you will neglect your wife later. Your wife will need you to sanctify her, to address her, to bless her with your words. If you cannot bless the people around you with your words, you will not bless your wife, and your wife will not grow into be the woman that you need her to be. Husbands, it's your responsibility to present to yourself a woman that you want to love. That's your responsibility. Take it seriously, and you'll have a blessed marriage. But it starts now. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I have a good friend who is a great saint, who loves the Lord, and he is always wrecking his marriage with his mouth. He shoots his mouth off, and it distresses his wife, and it distresses his wife, and instead of edifying her, he troubles her, he stirs up the waters, and the man has a sweet, sweet wife, but he needs to wash her with his words. Instead, he flings mud. Not necessarily at her, at everybody else. Did you see what so-and-so did down the road? I can't believe that guy. Why, somebody ought to straighten him out. She gets all worked up over it. It messes up their marriage. Because she gets angry at that guy. Then she's stirred up and angry. Then they get angry at each other. Young men, if you want a good marriage, you start right now by the people around you. Be a peacemaker, not a war maker. Be the guy that turns the other cheek and walks away. Because you're going to need to do that in your marriage. Be the guy that people want to come to settle a dispute, not because you're going to win the argument, but because you're going to say, you know what, guys, if we both love the Lord, if we're both walking with God, this is peanuts. We can work through this. This is no problem. Then you'll have a good marriage, man. But if you don't, you won't. Look at what the scripture says, Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify. This is talking about Christ. It says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also has loved the church and given himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Folks, that's what God's doing for you. God is presenting you to himself spotless. What a magnificent God we have that he would do that. Men, present to yourself a wife spotless. It's your job. It's your responsibility. And it will bless you over and over again if you get a hold of that. Then it says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about words. If you can put on the Spirit of God and walk in the newness of life, here's what you need to do. You need to not grieve the Spirit of God whereby you're sealed, but you need to let all bitterness go. That person that wronged you, that you're bitter against, if you want a good marriage, drop it. Put it away with malice. Hate it. Say, I'm not interested. When somebody comes to you, do you know what he did? I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to carry bitterness against them. Because, husband, if you carry bitterness against your neighbor, against the guy down the road, against the guy that elbowed you in the face playing basketball or cut you off on the highway, if you'll carry that bitterness in your heart, you'll carry it against your wife too. And you know that God said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, because you'll want to. Because men and women think differently, and you're going to want to be bitter against your wife. But if you're a man of God and you practice now, young man, to put away bitterness with malice, I'm not going to be bitter. I mean, serious about it. Then you'll be a good husband. Not just bitterness, but wrath. If you're a guy that's going to embrace wrath, you see angry men, you see a guy and he's just angry. Sometimes they're kind of funny. I like funny, angry little men. They get mad and they, you know, and I don't have little man syndrome, so I can laugh at them and that makes them more angry, which makes me laugh more. But I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter when I'm laughing. I'm just laughing. But put away with malice wrath. You want to be a good husband? When you smack your finger with a wrench, don't throw the wrench. Do you know why? Do you know how that applies? You say, I'm in a garage by myself working on my motorcycle. What difference does it make if I throw the wrench against the wall? Because there's going to be a day that you're going to come home and your wife is going to say something snotty to you. And you're going to be tired. And everything's going to be right. And then you're going to snap. And you're going to throw a plate against the wall. And then it's on. It's on for the next 3 days. You're going to have a lousy marriage, guys. You're going to have a lot of whittling done in your life if you're going to have a good marriage. You're going to have to let a lot of anger go. Or you're going to have some kind of woman. But don't depend on that. You need to be the man that God's called you to be. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that wrath. Let go of the anger. And clamor. You know what clamor is? Racket. Clamor. Carrying on. Men and ladies, stop clamoring. Don't heart nag and carry on with each other. Don't. Do you know what he did? Do you know what? Do you see all this stuff about words? Words are it in marriage. Words are where it's at. You're going to make it or break it with words. Clamoring. Carrying on. You hear marriages that are just full of clamoring. Full of clamoring. They can make it. They can clamor and they can make it. It sure won't be like my marriage. My marriage doesn't have clamoring in it. My marriage has a lot of kissing in it. If you want my kind of marriage, stop clamoring. And evil speaking be put away from you. What's evil speaking? Speaking about evil stuff. Speaking evilly to one another. Put it away from you with all malice. What does that have to do with marriage? Something that breaks my heart is when I go to work and I hear a man talking bad about his wife. It just breaks my heart. And I've heard it over and over again. I go to work and somebody's, you know, my wife just did. Oh, buddy, don't speak evil about your wife. Man, she's your other half. She's your better half because you're speaking evil. A lot better. You're a lousy dude. I dislike men. I will not work with guys that speak evil about their wife. I really won't work with them. I'll take a lame dude that loves and just talks great about his wife any day over somebody that speaks evil about his wife. Men, there will always be something for you to gripe about with your wife. You will always have a reason to gripe about your wife. You'll never lack for a reason. There will always be a reason for her to gripe about you. You just have to choose not to. You say, well, you sound like it sounds like it's so bad. No, but when two people are together all the time, you're always going to step on each other's toes eventually. And man, people have great memories when it comes to toe stepping. 2-3 years down the road. Yeah, well, you remember when you... If you can't put it away now, you won't put it away later. Put it away with malice. Don't speak evil. Don't speak evil about anybody. Don't talk about evil. Just let it go. Let your words be as pure as water, washing the people around you, sanctifying, edifying the people around you. And you'll have a blessed marriage. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Colossians 3:19. You can see how it fits right there. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, guys, if you can get a hold of these 5 or 6 verses, don'ts and do's, you're going to have a beautiful marriage. You can read every self-help book, every attitude book, every I'm a prophet, she's a king and priest, and but I'm telling you, it's in the words, guys. It is in the words. If you will put away with malice, evil speaking, and bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and instead you will live like this and be kind one to another. When you're on the volleyball court, when you're riding your bike around, when somebody cuts you off on the interstate, when you're at work, be kind one to another. As children, be kind one to another. My kids are kind to other kids. If they have something, I don't make them, but they share it with them. They have kind hearts. I love that. I see kids that don't have kind hearts. That give me, it's mine. And you act that way as teenagers too. It's my turn to play volleyball. You get off the court. I don't want to play with you. You play stupid. You're not good at it. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Are you tender-hearted? Young lady, are you tender-hearted? Are you the kind of girl that wants to cover up other people's faults? When somebody forgets to clean up the dishes, you clean them up for them, and then you keep your mouth shut because you don't want somebody to know that they forgot, that they messed up. Are you the kind of girl that wants to help the people around you? Are you a tender-hearted girl? I know a girl like this. It's just tender-hearted. She wants to help everybody and serve everybody all the time. She gets stepped on because of, she's a tender-hearted girl. Good girl. But so many aren't. So many are just vicious. Just want. And in our culture, it's, I just straightened him out. I mean, how many times have you heard something like that? Oh, he stepped on my toes, but he won't do it again. It's not tender-hearted. Because you know what? Your husband's going to step on your toes. Believe it. I step on my wife's toes. Your wife, she's going to step on your toes. Because you can't live together for 50 years and not get your toes stepped on. But if you're tender-hearted, forgiving one another, then it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You get your toes stepped on and just say, that's because we're dancing too close, baby. Keep it up. There's no problem here. But if you're vicious, if you're not tender-hearted, then it'll be a big deal. Be kind one to another. Yeah, you cannot believe how important being kind is in marriage. I cringe at listening to people that are married talk to each other. And I know, you know, some people are Italians and they can't help it. But my wife's from an Italian family, and we have a great time with that side of the family, but boy, they're not kind sounding to one another. Be ye kind to one another. That kindness will go so far. Thank you for supper, dear. It's so easy. It's so easy. But you know what? It doesn't happen a lot. Thank you, Mom, for driving me to soccer. That's kind. Thank you, Mom, for taking me to the play, for taking out 2.5 hours. Instead, you see the girl sitting there. We gotta go, because I'm gonna be late. Well, that's not very thankful. You're gonna make a lousy wife, woman. I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. You're not kind. I don't want an unkind woman. Girls, if you're gonna be a good wife, if you want a good husband, be kind. It's not cool, but do it. Husbands, don't be a gruffy snot. Be kind. Open the door for your mama. Tell your mom thank you next time she makes you a meal. It's good practice, and it'll make a difference in your marriage. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, how many times have you heard, I'll forgive him when he apologizes? Is that the way you feel in your heart? As soon as he says he's sorry, I'll forgive him. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you won't forgive him right now, he can say he's sorry until he's blue in the face and you won't forgive him. If you want a good marriage, practice forgiveness right now. If somebody cuts you off, forgive them. If somebody does something to wrong you, forgive them. You say, well, what he did was so mean. Well, if it wasn't, you wouldn't need to forgive him, would you? I mean, if he gave you a flower, you wouldn't have to forgive him, unless he's ugly. But when somebody's mean to you, that's when you forgive them. If you will forgive somebody that's mean to you, you'll have a good marriage. Men, if you'll forgive the people that hurt your feelings, that make you mad, you'll have a good marriage. There is nothing manly about a fight. It's stupid. Forgiveness is key in marriage. If you want to have a good marriage, practice it. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. This is the reason we forgive. We don't forgive one another because we feel it. We don't forgive somebody because it frees us from a root of bitterness, or it makes us somehow a better person. Do you know why you forgive one another? Because God nailed his son to a cross so that he could forgive you. That's heavy, guys. That's important. God killed his boy so that he would have the right to be both just and the justifier of you. So that's the reason that you forgive one another. That's your example. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how it makes you feel or if it helps you in your life. You forgive one another because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Has God forgiven you for Christ's sake? If he has, you've got a pretty big example to live up to. At what point are you going to be wronged more than you've wronged God? I'll answer that for you. You're not. Forgive one another, and you'll have a blessed marriage. Hold on to anger. Hold on to bitterness. Straighten them out because they deserve it. You'll feel great about it now. You'll have a lousy marriage. Chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Do you describe people in this way? He walks in love. She walks in love. Isn't that a good description? If this can describe you, you'll be a good spouse. And if you're a good spouse, you're likely to get another. You know why? Because you'll obtain favor of the Lord, and God will provide that for you. You say, I want a good spouse. Be worthy of one. Be a good son or daughter. Be a good son of God or daughter of God and you'll get a good spouse because God will give you one. Do you see the scriptures say that if you'll do this, you'll obtain favor of God? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh the saints. Don't let it ever one time be named among you that you're involved in fornication. Okay, I'm talking about the fine points here. I'm talking about a child of God who walks with God, who's in church, who wants to be married in virtue, that's not messing around. That's who I'm talking to. Now, if you fit the description, you're the cream of the crop, right? Most people are just, you write them off at age 11. I mean, God doesn't write them off, but I do. I'm not as patient as he is. But they're in school, in public school, fornicating, doing drugs, getting tattoos, getting body piercings, disobedient to parents. All that is a given. But now, let's go a step further and be kind to one another. Forgive one another and be followers of Christ as dear children and walk in love and have no fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness be named among you, neither filthiness. He covers it all here. You say, well, this isn't fornication. Is it filthiness? Don't let it be named among you. You say, that's okay. I don't do that. Nor foolish talking. He's in the same vein here. You know what he's talking about with foolish talking? He's talking about when you get together and you talk about sex with each other. It's foolish talking. You don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be getting together talking about things that aren't pertinent to you right now. You talk about that when you get married with your spouse. You don't need to be talking to each other about that. Avoid foolish talking. I'm not talking about sinful talking now. I'm not talking about something that's you know, where you're participating in something vulgar. I'm talking about just talking about it. Just talking about it. That's what the scripture says. Avoid foolish talking. Don't let it be named among you. When you're together and you're hanging out with your young friends and whatnot, and one of them brings this up, no, I'm not going to talk about that. Why not? Because my husband doesn't need me to. Oh, your husband, you're 13. That's right. I haven't met him yet. But I'm going to be a good wife, and I'm going to get a good husband. I'm going to obtain favor of God. Young man, when you're hanging out with your friends and one of them goes, oh, I read this joke in my uncle's Playboy magazine. Now I don't want to hear it. I don't want that filth in my head. I am going to avoid foolish talking and put it away with all malice. If you want to be a good husband and have a good wife and obtain favor of the Lord, you put away foolish talking. So you put away filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So you put away jesting of that which is not convenient. You know what he's talking about? Homosexuality. He means, don't act like a queer and think it's funny. Now, that seems like something you wouldn't do. But you see it a lot. People are just making fun of the queers, of the homosexuals, the gays. I know I'm not being PC. I don't care. Don't act in a way that is vile or filthy. It's not funny. He says, don't do this. Now, don't jest, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. It says in Romans, it talks about homosexuals. It says men working with men, that which was not convenient. And women with women, that which is not convenient. That's what it calls it. Don't jest on those things which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So when you're out playing volleyball and you want to be funny, don't act like a queer. Thank God for something. Thank your parents for something. Thank somebody else. Be thankful. Be filled with thanks. Thanksgiving. Not jesting. Not foolish talking. Not vile things. Don't be let fornication be named among you. Be filled with thanks. This is important if you want to know God in your marriage. If you want to realize the potential that you have for a beautiful, wonderful marriage. Be thankful. Thankfulness will cover up a multitude of problems. Thankful. But if you're not thankful to your parents, if you're not thankful to your siblings, if you're not thankful for the country that you live in, for the car that you drive, for the place that you lay your head, you will not be a good husband or a good wife. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot be. Don't get me wrong. You can break all these rules and still have a glorious marriage, but there will be a pile of shavings behind you and years of work to get there. There will be a big pile. I've eaten dinner with people that have beautiful, glorious marriages, that lived in sin, that married in sin, that done every drug under the moon, that have fornicated and been vile and talked and everything wrong, and have a beautiful marriage at the age of 72. If you want to start in your 20s, then you start in your teens, walking with God and doing these things. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. See, my virtuous wife brought me water right before I started talking. I didn't even know I'd need it yet. Thank you. See, I'm thankful. So, know this, that there will be no whoremongers, that there will be no unclean person or covetous man or idolater who have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Now, people take this and say, okay, I've got to go out and I've got to stop coveting so that I can be a Christian. That's not what this is saying. It's saying if you're a Christian, you won't covet. If you're a Christian, you're not going to be involved in this stuff. You say that's semantics. No, it's not. If you're born again, you walk with God because you love Him, because He forgave you. You say, well, how do you know you're saved? Because He saves you. But how do you know? Because if you don't know, you go back to part one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you be saved. Then you walk with God. Now, there were problems in the church, and God killed people over it. And there's problems in the church today. But if you're a child of God, you walk with God. That's who we are. That's what we do. We walk with God. So he says that the world, the people, the wrath of God is coming on the people of the world because they do this stuff. So don't let it be among you. Be not partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So he says, all this vile garbage that in the world, that was in the world. That's not in us. That's not how we are. That's not what we do. Walk now as the children of light. Because that's what you are, as the children of light. You're light and no darkness in you. So walk that way. Talk that way. Act that way. And if you do, you're practicing to be a fantastic husband and father and wife and mother. I love this stuff. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit is not sinning. The fruit of the Spirit is in goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in love and kindness and being tenderhearted. These are the things that God works in your heart if you're a child of God. He does that to you to present you to Himself because He bought you. So now He's fixing you up. I bought an old car one time. The engine was blown in it. I didn't just buy an old car and haul it in the yard and let it sit. I put a new engine in it. Then I drove it around and I enjoyed my new car. God has purchased you with the price of His only Son's blood. That's a big purchase price. Now He's going to fix you up. He's going to put things in you like love and joy and peace and thankfulness. And if God puts those things in you and you exercise those things, you put on those things, you're diligently seeking after those things, it comes out in your marriage. You know it's hard to be mad at somebody that's full of joy? You know, you ever try that? You ever try to get mad at somebody that's thankful and happy and full of joy? It's hard to be mad at them. As a matter of fact, you're around them for 10 minutes and you're happy and thankful and full of joy. You just can't help yourself. So guess what happens if you're happy and thankful and full of joy and you get married? Your wife's happy and thankful and full of joy. You get that way together. But if you're angry and you're bitter and you're mean, it rubs off. And she'll be angry, bitter, and mean at you. So, put on the fruit of the Spirit. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So he says, put on these things. Don't be like the darkness. And if you see the darkness, reprove it. Because if you reprove the darkness, it won't be in the darkness anymore. It'll be made manifest. And anybody that's doing that is making manifest part of the light. So if you see something going on, don't turn your back on it. Tell somebody what's happening. If you're on the volleyball court and somebody misses the ball and they throw out a curse word, turn around and say, did you just say that? Did you say what I think you just said? You mean out of that mouth is coming blessings and cursings? I heard you singing in church last Sunday, and now you're going to say that on the volleyball court? That's disgusting. I don't want a husband like that. You're going to freak people out. You really will. You'll freak them out. You know what? The one that forgave you asked you to do that. He said, if you're light, you're going to reprove that stuff. And you know what happens? The whole culture changes. There's 16 people out there hanging around the volleyball court, and one person says, I cannot believe you just took God's name in vain. Do you know what he did for me and you? How can you do that? Everybody's shocked. Everybody's, oh, I can't believe she said that. She's standing up for God. He's going to be mighty uncomfortable. And then everybody else is going to be uncomfortable. And then they're not going to say it anymore. They're not going to do it anymore. I work in construction out in the world. I work around rough guys sometimes. I mean, we're talking opposite of the salt of the earth. They're the pepper. I mean, these guys, rough guys, right? Missing teeth from drugs. Some of them come out stoned, vile, dirty t-shirts. Nasty guys, right? They come out and they're cussing. And a few minutes later, they notice I'm not cussing. They say a few more cuss words, and they notice that I'm not cussing. As a matter of fact, I say, well, God died for me. I'd never ask him to damn you. Well, that's kind of uncomfortable. And then there's this awkward silence. I'm like, oh, he's one of those. Yes, I am. I'm one of those. Suddenly, they don't cuss anymore. And then, you know what? The whole mood changes on the job site. These guys get happy. They get joyful, actually. Instead of talking bad about their wife, they talk good about their mama. They do. We had a guy one time. He came out in the job, and he's blaring rock music. It was something that was kind of vulgar. And he's smoking cigarettes, and he's cussing. And one of the guys I was working with goes over, you know, and he's like, look, I don't want to be rude, but we're Christians and we don't, you know, listen to this kind of stuff, and I would really appreciate it if you turned. Oh man, I'm sorry, dude, no problem, okay. So then a few minutes later, he has classical music on, he's smoking a pipe. I guess that was a move up, but it smelled better than the cigarette. And he didn't cuss anymore. And he's laughing and joking now, and he's jovial. That will happen in your marriage. If you reprove darkness in your marriage, if you get something vile and an evil spirit in your marriage, something, and you say, you know what? I'm not going to have part of that. You know what? I love God. You know what? I'm not going to return railings for railings. Then your spouse will be uncomfortable for about 5 minutes. And then they'll say, you know what? I'm sorry I did that. You're right. Because, you married as Christian. I'm sorry I did that. You're right. Your whole home will change. Suddenly, instead of being angry at each other, you're tickling each other. Then just joy is pouring off of you. A good marriage takes work. It takes effort. It takes preparation and groundwork. If you want that beautiful bay window, you start with a big hole in the ground that you're filling with concrete. Right now, you're a big hole in the ground. Young man and young lady, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, things are pouring into your life that's determining who you're going to be. The way that you speak things that come out of your mouth changes your spirit and your soul. The things that you say to someone else will adjust the way you think about other people. The way that you think about other people will in turn adjust the way that you talk about other people, and it'll snowball. You'll start right now by just talking about your daddy. Well, he just doesn't understand me. He just doesn't like makeup because he's an old fogey. He just doesn't want me to swim without my shirt because he has a big belly that hangs over his belt, and so he doesn't want to see my nice abs. I have nice abs. Ask my wife. I don't really have any abs. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I lied. You can stop laughing now. It's even fun. I can't help it. I was born like this. And smiling, right? You heard that earlier. I was born smiling and with no abs. So if you walk now with purity, with purpose, you do it on intentionally. It's not an act. Most of us in here were raised godly, right? I mean, your parents brought you up to walk in godliness. And you might accidentally walk in godliness till you're 10, 12, 13. But then your heart starts coming out. And the things that you say, the thing that you broadcast to your friends, that's what's coming out of your heart. And it will start to change the content of your heart. And if you don't guard your tongue now, and if you don't guard your heart and the things that you feel and the way that you act, then God will not grant you his favor in marriage. And you won't get that spouse that could be wonderful. Instead, you'll get somebody that you deserve, and that's always scary. And if you will now be thankful to your parents, be thankful for the country you live in, be thankful for the food on your plate, even if you don't like it. If you'll be thankful for the people around you and somebody that's mean to you, you can be thankful because they're going to help you prepare for marriage because they've been obnoxious or rude or mean. If you will be tender-hearted, forgiving, and loving one another now, then when you get married, it'll seamlessly flow in your marriage. You'll just have a blessed marriage. And let me tell you, there is nothing better than a blessed marriage. It is just pure paradise. I told my wife the other day, I looked at her and I said, "Baby, I think this is happy ever after." You know, you hear the stories and they lived happy ever after. I think, yeah, this is happy ever after. That's where we're at now. We're just cruising through life. Goodness and mercy's following us around, playing with us in the creek and the river, and our kids. It's just wonderful to be married. It's almost feels selfish to be so happy. I mean, I see people that are having a rough go of it, and we're just deliriously happy. But it doesn't happen by mistake. It doesn't happen just because she married me and I married her. It happens because that's the way we were before we got married. I was asked one time, "Why her? Why did you pick her?" And I said, "Because she talked good about her dad." I was at a missions conference and someone else said something snotty about her dad. And she stood up for him. I mean, like a firecracker. "Oh, you don't talk about him." And she stood up for her dad. And I said, "That's a girl that'll stand up for me. That's the kind of girl that I want raising my kids." She was 15 years old, ladies. 15 years old when I met her. And I heard her talking about her dad. And her beautiful red hair didn't hurt. And she is the biggest defender of me. And she is thankful to me. And she is so full of joy to me that I can't wait to get home every evening. I'm driving home down the interstate and I call her on my phone just so I get to talk to her, because I like her, because I like spending time with her. When we go places, we always go together, because that's what we like to do. We've been married 13 years, and we've never spent the night apart. We just like hanging out with each other. If you want to have a great marriage, it starts right now, guys. It starts today. It starts last year. And you start cultivating in your heart a heart of thankfulness and forgiveness and tenderheartedness, and it'll be a beautiful marriage.